But I said, when the time has come, you need to make your choice. Are you with your own nation? Are you with your own homeland and your country which you belong or not? And this is a tough decision because all of us has a lot of challenges, problems, plans and projects. But time has come and you said, what is more important for you?
Welcome to Impact Investing TV.
Together, we will go on a global adventure, discovering the power of impact investing.
You will meet inspiring humans who are shaping a sustainable world for current and future generations.
There's no limit to the positive changes when we come together.
Let the journey begin. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 2 of season 7.
And welcome to a very special show today.
Why it is so special?
Because today, we want to present on our TV channel a program to inform our audience of a human catastrophe occurring in a country not very far from us here in Switzerland.
Well, thanks to social media and internet, you could think that everyone today is aware of all tragedies taking place all around the planet.
But unfortunately, this is not the case. Most people in the world today are completely ignorant of what we are going to talk about today. And since the theme of this season is impact investing worldwide, uniting for a sustainable future, thus we seek all your attention, dear audience, for this tiny little country.
Right, but before we start, should we share our story or?
No, I was thinking of skipping our story today because the show is extremely vital and every second counts.
Well, that's what I felt. All right, then let's jump right into that. Please, dear audience, try to guess to which country are we actually going to travel to today? And any idea which country it is? Okay, I'll give you a hint. It is the first Christian nation on earth. In other words, the cradle of Christianity.
Ah, so now I know. The country of our guest of today is Armenia.
Right, you're right. I hope you also could guess it correctly, or the audience. And with this, I'd like to welcome Mr. Ruben Vardanyan, who is our guest of today, our honorary guest of today. Ruben, are you with us? Can you hear us?
I hope yes, finally. I'm sorry, guys. Welcome. I want to say hi from Artsakh and Armenia, where there's no electricity, and we cut off every 2 hours. Our electricity is cut off, which is why we lost our connections.
Well, that's great to have you with us, Ruben, in any case, and thanks for making time. Before we start, I'd like to introduce you to our audience who doesn't know yet maybe some of your very important engagements. So Ruben is an Armenian and Artsakhi, right, if I pronounce it right. Among your many professions and roles, presently you are most active working under programs of We Are Our Mountains, a territorial development agency that you co-founded soon after you moved actually to Republic of Artsakh. For over 30 years, Ruben, you have brought together people with different backgrounds, experiences, and capabilities to implement partnership projects that transform the socio-economic environment. You and your family, together with a diverse group of partners around the world, have made more than $1.5 billion investment in commercial and philanthropic investment in such key areas for human development as global education, healthcare, sustainable development goals, humanitarian issues, and philanthropy. It's not all. I want to say a few more words, if you allow me. So Ruben is the recipient also of numerous international awards, including the Common Ground Award to honor his outstanding accomplishments in conflict resolution, community development and peace building, and the UWC Award for Peace and Sustainability in Education. In 2001, Fortune magazine listed Ruben as one of the 25 rising stars of the new generation, and the World Economic Forum named you one of the 100 global leaders of tomorrow. Wow, now I'm done.
So Ruben, can you please tell us a bit about the Armenian history and why is Artsakh an unrecognized state?
First of all, I want to say thank you for this opportunity. I'm so grateful for introducing small country, Armenia, and Artsakh. People maybe never heard about Artsakh, but Artsakh is one of the oldest Armenian territory. It was being part of Armenia thousands of years. Armenia, one of the oldest nation in the world, who have been living in this territory thousands of years. And unfortunately, we lost our independence in the 15th century when the Ottoman Empire occupied most part of Armenia. When Soviet Union was established, they organized two republics. One was Armenian Republic, that everybody heard, which was part of 15th Republic of Soviet Union. The other, they separated part of Armenia and they included this part to Azerbaijan Social Republic, named Nagorno-Karabakhskaya Autonomna Oblast, which was the regional autonomy, which has a special right, but inside of the Azerbaijan Soviet Socialistic Republic. Artsakh and Armenian been always connected because it was part of our DNA. Artsakh is one of the places where our first school of Armenian language was established in the 5th century in the monastery Amaras. The founder of Armenian alphabet, the guy who made it our Armenian alphabet, started his education in Armenian language in Artsakh. We had fantastic monasteries from 5th, 6th centuries, which been part of Armenian heritage, which we believe belongs not only to Armenia, but entire world, the Christian and the world entire. People been living here, and we have villages with people can show the 16, 18 generation of the population be living the same village. And this is amazing when you see the history of one family when going back to 16, 18 generations. And Armenians been always very hard worker and create a lot of different monuments and different type of the culture and religion places that people can see it. And this was our main area of the keeping traditions and culture and language and specific. And my mom from this part of Armenia. And in 1988, when the Soviet Union had just started perestroika and Gorbachev, Armenian who be living in Autonomna Oblast put the request to become moved from Azerbaijan Republic to Armenian Republic. Azerbaijan refused, and it was referendum when people entirely vote, 90% of people who be living there said, we don't want to stay and part of the Azerbaijan. And when the Soviet Union collapsed, Nagorno-Karabakh Autonomous Oblast was already independent from Azerbaijan. Azerbaijan became independent and started war against the Armenians. It was very unfair proportionally. If you look at the population of Azerbaijan and population of Artsakh, it was a big elephant against this small person who've been trying to fight, but we've been enough strong to won this first war. And we, 1984, was peace agreement was signed, which was temporary peace agreement was signed. And unfortunately, during 30 years of negotiation, which was established by special platform by United States, France, and Russia, we couldn't come in agreement how we can find a solution. Whereas Azerbaijan would demand to get Nagorno-Karabakh Artsakh Republic under their control, and we said we don't want to be part of Azerbaijan. In 2020, in September 27, the war started, and Azerbaijan won this war, and we got a special also agreement which was signed between three countries, Armenia, Azerbaijan, and Russia, temporarily stopped the war, but the solution with the Russian peacekeeper will move to this place and will keep the situation in status quo with the, some of the land of Artsakh was occupied by Azerbaijani army. And the status quo stayed like until last year, when the last year the Azerbaijan put the blockade and cut the one road which was connected Artsakh to Armenia. And unfortunately, already 7 months, we don't have food, electricity, gas. Everything is limited by our internal resources. And before June, at least was Russian peacekeeper and Red Cross was allowed to bring some medicaments and bring some humanitarian assistance. But from June 15, it's fully shut down. And now we are in a fully blockade with nobody can move. Nobody can get anything from anywhere. We have only internal resources, which allowed us to keep people alive. But it's a really very dangerous situation.
Well, that's crazy how this still happens in 21st century. It's incredible to hear such stories, and which are still ongoing. They are not finished. So,
and we don't even hear about it much here in the news, in the Western media.
Unfortunately, it's true. We have a time with everything doing so crazy. People become more and more indifferent, and we don't hear all the real stories. Despite, by the way, UN Security Council made the clear decision to push Azerbaijan to open the corridor. The Hague International Court made this decision, but we're living in a world where the decision of highest level international organization can be ignored. And also the humanitarian world, which I'm surprised, also ignoring the situation, but we have no chance to get any assistance. And we put these conditions saying, guys, at least let's create an air corridor, air bridge, which will allow to bring some humanitarian assistance to us, because we have an airport, which is also not allowed to use by Azerbaijan. But we believe this is only one of the solutions that we can request to the world, and especially at Switzerland and other places, we have a humanitarian cargoes who can come and bring this food to the people. 120,000 people, 30,000 kids, 20,000 older people, 2,000 pregnant women now in Iran. And again, it's a crazy what's going on. And the world is ignoring, unfortunately.
Ruben, as you are such a solution-oriented person, would you tell us more about your foundation, We Are Our Mountains, and what's inspired its creation?
Thank you. Yeah, our agency was established last year, but before it, I've been doing already 20 years many projects, including in Armenia and Artsakh. And our approach, being social entrepreneur, to always bring not like one solution, but coordination of many activities, try to bring in the ecosystem which can allow people not only get food or get education, but entirely change the environment, the ecosystem, build some new ecosystem. The same we use, the same approach we use for agency. We established this agency and we got a lot of people who support our activity with the idea to support people in Artsakh with education, culture, healthcare, infrastructure, and economy development, because we see a lot of obstacles which not allow people to have a normal life here. We cannot travel normal, we cannot get normal education, we cannot get normal healthcare support. This is why our agency from the beginning said we will have a comprehensive approach. We'll have a business, social impact, philanthropic projects under one umbrella. In some places we're using these different instruments, but all together it's one vision, one system.
And how does your agency work with the Republic of Artsakh and the Republic of Armenia in its development programs?
Depends on the program. We work with the government of Artsakh and with a quite good working relations. With Armenian government, more difficult. Unfortunately, the current Armenian government position is a little bit neutral, and they are providing some assistance, but not fully, and they create some problem for Artsakh also, recognizing the Artsakh part of Azerbaijan, which is unacceptable. But otherwise, we work with the people in Armenia who support a lot our activities. We got a lot of support from Armenians in diaspora, Armenians who lives in 118 countries. But mostly we work and operate with the humanitarian organizations who based in Armenia, or with the local people and local government from Artsakh.
Okay. And in which areas have you focused your commercial and philanthropic investments?
We had a couple major areas. First of all, energy, because like you can see, we don't have electricity because our energy sector is under full cutoff from any electricity we could get from Armenia. Now we're only using our internal resources. That's why we're working in the solar energy. We're trying to implement local projects for the villages or for hospitals or for entire country, build some solar system which will allow to provide energy to the people who live in Artsakh. We cut our in green, also agriculture area, because agriculture is critical now from point of just getting food and from security point of view. So we have a greenhouse project which we try to implement during these last 2 months. Also, we're trying to help to rebuild the infrastructure, because a lot of problem of logistics, providing the services to people who live in the city and people who live in the villages, is also under big challenge. We're doing a lot in education and for kids, for summer camps to the leaders. They're trying to develop the leadership skills for the people who need to now take more initiatives and become more leaders in the current crisis situation. We're doing also special healthcare programs to people who are need to get first primary assistance in the villages because of the big problems of connections between the villages and the city. We're trying to provide the first aid in villages as much as we can. We're also developing also very important the ideological, national, culture, identity, giving the traditions and giving this brave soul of staying strong despite all the challenges that people face, because it's really tough when you have this type of situation. And so we're doing a lot of investment culture events and trying to keep people motivated.
How many people are involved in the agency and the work that you are doing?
We have people who are based in Artsakh, who stay with me here. We have people who are in Armenia, and now some people also in other places. Altogether, we have around 45 people who work for agency, but also we have hundreds of people who are involved in discussion. For example, in Artsakh, we established the movement for the security and development of Artsakh, which includes hundreds of people, and thousands of people also support this project. That's why we got big movement who support our activity, who support our ideas. We discuss with them our vision, and we create the vision how we see Artsakh long-term stay independent and stay Armenian and happier and secure. And this is why employers is not so big number, but there's a lot of people who are involved in the project implementation and project also. Volunteers and experts who have been involved in the project from other organizations, other institutions.
Mm-hmm. And can you provide us more details on the program to re-equip greenhouses and how it aims to address the food crisis? Because I think everyone knows when you don't have food, this is a first need. You know, my grandmother also used to live in the Second World War, and she used to say that, look, if you have something to eat, everything is fine.
True. So with greenhouse, we have a couple of levels of how we try to help. First of all, it's energy, providing the solar energy, for example, providing some way sustainable energy for the greenhouse, because we all know in the winter time, you don't have electricity every 2 hours, all your product will be dead and very soon. This is why one part is providing local infrastructure or local solar energy panel. It was allowed it before the full blockade. The other part also, we provide our best standards and try to bring the best experience from the world, how the people who've been doing first-time greenhouse can be educated. Third, we also discussed, we established now association of greenhouse producers, and we're trying to help them to understand all the issues and how we can work together. It was very important to not only help each one individually, but also help the association of these greenhouse producers. And we try to find a way how we can implement some of the new technologies, new ideas from the world to the best that we can do in our side.
Okay. And just for example, for a European or a Swiss, if he wants to come to Artsakh, how do you can come via Armenia, via Yerevan, or via Azerbaijan, or how?
You can't. You can't. It's fully blockade. It's fully blockade. You can go to Armenia. You can come closer to the border, but you cannot come to Artsakh now. It's a fully blockade, unfortunately.
That's crazy.
That's completely crazy.
It's crazy. And like, how are some mobile medical brigades are utilized to provide healthcare services in these areas? I mean, how do they do that?
Like I said, before June 15, it was at least a Red Cross institution provide the assistance, and they bring some medicament, they bring some, they took some of the heavy patient to the Armenia, it was allowed, but not anymore. And there's also Russian peacekeeper was flying by helicopter. They flew by helicopter, but not anymore. They cannot do anything for Armenia. We can do only for their own needs. And we have local hospitals and local doctors who are trying to do their best. We, like I said, we organize mobile health services for the primary health to the people who live in villages. But now also problem with gasoline. It's very difficult because people just using their old horses or bicycles, or by walk. Again, it's all we went back to the 19th century.
Yeah. Is there any diplomatic peace discussions going on right now, or it's just blocked and nobody's even trying to bring the peace back to this area?
Well, the debate has happened. The meetings happened in recently in Brussels, where was European head Charles Michel with the head of Azerbaijan, head of Armenia. It was a couple of meetings in Moscow, and it's going parallel. And both discussions, unfortunately, didn't bring any solutions. They're all more diplomatic debates about the status, about the borders, about who is right, who is wrong, whatever. But there's a lot of falsification and wrong rhetorics from Azerbaijan, and people don't understand. For example, Azerbaijan offered the humanitarian assistance will come from Azerbaijan, and we said there's no way. We don't trust. We know it will be impossible for people who've been declaring that we will kill Armenians. Now we will get any assistance from them with the really high chance to be poisoned by some food and other. This is why people rejected this in Artsakh. But yeah, some debate happened, some discussions, some meetings, but with no results yet.
Okay. And just for the audience, can you give us an idea of how large or how big is this land of Artsakh?
Yeah, our republic was 4,000 square kilometers. And because it's partially occupied, it's less of 3,000 now. And it's 120,000 people live in. We have around 115 villages and 3 towns. And like I said, there's 30,000 kids, 20,000 older people, and a lot of women. And it's 100% people who live here is Armenians, and we have a small community of Russians being married with Armenians or be living here. But yeah, it's always been, by the way, I didn't mention when we started our conversation with Nagorno-Karabakh Autonomous was joined to Azerbaijan Republic, it was 90% was Armenians, 10% was the Muslim population. In 1988, when the Soviet Union was become this close to collapse, it was only 75% was Armenians already. We still how we slowly pushed out from here. But now it's 100% who lives here is Armenia. We also have 30,000 more refugees who left here to Armenia because they lost their homes and they lost their lands. That's why it's quite complicated. We have also a couple thousand people lives here without their own homes and lands because we lost some part of the republic to under occupation of Azerbaijan.
And I was just thinking of that more Armenians live, for example, in U.S. than in Armenia. How is their support for Artsakh?
Yeah, we got support from Artsakh, from America, from Russia. You're right. And currently in Armenia, around 3 million people, in 1.5 million lives in America, 2.5 million lives in Russia, and around half a million lives in Europe. We have a big Armenian diaspora worldwide. And now I've been very active before war, during the war. They become less active partially because of the unclear status and unclear situation between Armenian government, who as a position which a little bit contradict with the desire of people who live in Artsakh or the people who live in Armenia. But otherwise, we had some individuals and organizations who support our, like AGBU or like other big famous charity organizations help to support what happened here.
Okay. And you when talking about children, because you mentioned you have 30,000 children there now. So what kind of educational program is your agency offering to them? And can you share some more information on the Matena International School training programs?
Like I said, we're trying to provide the best education as we can to the kids from age of the kindergarten to the students who want to go to university. We have a university here, and we organize from programs for special kids who have some problem with the health here. We organize special summer camp for for example, we have an agro summer camp for kids to learn how to use the skills to get the food and how to work with the land. We organize special courses for kids, how to survive during the war and how to survive if something will go more tougher for kids from 60 days. We organize a case competition for business education, where the kids can continue to learn how to do business and despite all this what's happening around them. We also have a leadership program with Ander Matena Education Center, which is we bring the best professors and specialists from the world to help people in Artsakh who has a leadership skills to understand how they can use their leaders leadership skills to do something not only by business but also in work and current environment. We also organize special master classes. We provide all education. We establish library. Before it was possible, we bring some books for in English and in Russian to help people who live in this blockade to get best books and best knowledge we can provide them as much as we can during this all conditions that we are facing.
Right.
I just wanted to ask, so there is a blockade for people, but what about goods? So can we, for example, send parcels or send things by post, or that's also blockaded?
Everything is blockaded. You cannot send anything. You cannot send anything now. Until 15th of June, it was possible. It was possible by a Russian peacekeeper and Red Cross had a chance to bring. Now we fully blockade. Azerbaijan government fully blockade the road, which we had the connections through Artsakh to Armenia. And by helicopter, we allowed only Russians to bring goods for their own needs. And like I said, we have, fortunately, now a situation, it's much more difficult compared to before, because nothing we can get from the world, and it's fully blockaded. Right? It's why I said we need to organize the humanitarian air bridge assistance program, and I hope that many people who can hear your program, I know it's very popular in the social impact investors, we need to create the pressure to the international organization, to the government, saying, guys, whatever happening, whatever negotiation got with diplomats, kids need to have a food, they need to have a right to live, and there's nobody has a right to stop basics needs for people who are just innocent and ordinary people.
Yeah, that's why I admire that you are in Artsakh, Ruben. I'm sure you could be anywhere else in the world if you wanted to. So what's your why? Why are you there? What's the reason?
The reason was I felt that the crisis was already visible last year because Azerbaijan was doing salami strategy, slowly was pushing and creating more and more problems. And I said, you know, I'm quite a successful business person and I made a lot of philanthropic projects. I did a lot of social impact investment. I did a lot of things. I'm a happy person with a family. I have 4 kids, a lovely wife, and I can live my life, like you said, absolutely correctly, any part of the world. And I have a lot of friends. I did a lot of projects I'm board member of Brazilian Business School. I have a project in Hong Kong. I can be in the United States, in Europe, in Russia. But I said, when the time has come, you need to make your choice. Are you with your own nation? Are you with your own homeland and your country which you belong or not? And it's a tough decision because all of us has a lot of challenges, problems, plans and projects. But time has come and you said, what is more important for you? Your own personal happy in life, or your readiness to do something for your own nation. And, you know, a choice is not easy, but it's normal. Like I said, it's not nothing heroic here. It's just when it's time is come, everyone needs to make his own decision between what is important for you. And for me, it was important to stay with my own nation, with my people, and also give them feeling that we're not alone. It was very important. My move to Artsakh was very well received by many people who didn't know about me, but they, because they felt they're not, they loved me. Somebody came and stayed with them. That's why it was symbolic, but it was important. I'm not alone. Hundreds of people told me that they also want to move here to Artsakh as soon as the road will open, because it's part of the, I think, normal behavior.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, but that would also mean that you are not able to see your family and kids since you're in a blockaded place.
Unfortunately, it's true. Yeah, maybe plan to come to have a Christmas and New Year together December 15, but December 12, the road was closed and we couldn't come. And unfortunately, I couldn't see my family already, yeah, from the October. Yeah, it's very tough still.
Mm-hmm. So what keeps you going, Dubad? What's your vision? How it's going to resolve? Or like, what do you believe in? How it can be resolved also? What needs to be done?
You know, I believe when you have a strong inside yourself feeling that you will defend your own right to live in your own home, in your own land, when you have a consolidation of the people who, despite all the difficulties, saying, we will not give up, we will not accept the Azerbaijan dictatorship regime will come and occupy our territory, destroy our monastery, destroy our religion and culture, heritage. When you have this type of the energy inside of your society, it's really, I believe, the world will become more interested in what's happening here. It's, if you look at the history of many times, very small countries like David and Goliath fight, sometimes they feel they have no chance, but you can get this energy inside of the society who can help to other people who live outside of Artsakh, in Armenia, Armenian diaspora, or the world, say, you know what, these people need to be respected, these people need to be defended, these people need to be supported, these people need to get help, because they behave with the, we behave right way. We behave with the respect to our own identity. And this is very important to keep who you are. That's why I believe as soon as we can send this message, as soon as we will have a chance to share our desire to fight for our own rights to live in our own country, we'll get more support for people. And this is important, because sometimes when everything looks so bad and so difficult, you only your own inside strong beliefs and love to your own country and your nation. Also, your responsibility. We lost thousands of people who've been killed and died during the wars and the last 30 years and more. And we have obligations to this generation of people who can, despite all the challenges, stay and keep our Artsakh Armenian. That's why we need to feel this obligation, transfer to the next generation this feeling of responsibility to keep Artsakh Armenian. So I believe, despite all the challenges, and nothing is done yet. Also, Azerbaijan is an issue. Look, the country, 44 years, was managed and managing now by one family. It's an autocratic regime, not democracy. Oil and gas, it's a big flow of money, but it's not sustainable to create really sustainable society when you have no open freedom to speak, to have a normal civilized society. So despite we have a challenging time now, we believe in the long term, we have a very talented people who have been very successful in IT business and creating businesses, and we can do a lot based here. And yes, it's tough, but look, nobody promised, nobody guaranteed every part of the world an easy life now. We're living in a very crazy time. That's why as soon as we will stay ourselves strong, I'm sure we will get more support from other peoples and from other nations.
Once more again, I go to a bit more rational question. So, for example, if people from the world will hire people in Artsakh to work for them, can they make payments? So, for example, you said they are good at IT, they are good at other kind of services. So if the Artsakh people offer their services or sell their services on the internet, can they get paid Is it a money flow?
Yeah, you can do it by now. We hope the internet will stay, will not be shut down also. Until that was possible, and you have branches of the banks who operate here from Armenia. Yes, we have some connections with the... We have 5G here, by the way, just for you. I tell you, we have 5G. The only joke is 5G with the electricity, but we have 5G.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Ruben, how can our audience support you, you know, should they spread it around or how can they support you?
Like I said, first of all, not being different and believe this is not just minor, small conflict for 120,000 people compared with the other problems that we are facing. And not being different means also raise your voice, or this is unacceptable in any European government. All other countries needs to understand this is not a minor conflict. It's a conflict of really unique nation who've been living for the years, who brings a lot of heritage, Christian culture, national to the world. And destroying this will be one more very sad page of history of our history of developing the world. So I raise the voice will be very important to create the pressure to the government saying, you must do your obligation, you must do your... The other part is create humanitarian air bridge corridor, which can become really important. And if the social entrepreneurship, social impact investor, philanthropist can create this pressure and make this, it will be absolutely important now, immediately. The third, despite all the challenges that we are facing, we're happy to think about some projects, doing something together and do something in education, in IT sector, in other places, and try to share our experience, our knowledge, also how to survive in the current environment. For example, we are after 8 months, we can teach some lessons. I hope it will be not used for many of the other nations, because I wish we all live in peace and normal conditions. But anyway, we're happy to work and cooperate in different areas. And like I said, we have a unique, talented kids who operate absolutely by best international standards.
Right. Ruben, the time is really running so quick, and I want to ask you maybe last question. If you can, please share your call to action message for our global audience as well.
Dear viewers of this fantastic program, I just want to emphasize again, 120,000 people, 30,000 kids, 20,000 older people, thousands of women, we've been pregnant now, under full blockade. We have no food, no electricity, no gas from outside world. We cannot help our patient who has a serious problems to go to the other hospitals in other part. We have no road to the access to the Armenia. I want to ask all of you not to be indifferent and try to understand. This is the not just life of 120,000 people. This is life for people who just defending their right to live their own homeland, their own country, the right to live in the place which been Armenian thousands of years. Please, don't be indifferent. Come together. Let's build air bridge assistance to people who live in Artsakh. Let's build the pressure to entire government organizations in Europe, in the United States, in Russia, in other places to ask them. Not just ignore the conflict which can destroy the one of the oldest Christian place in the world and destroy the heritage of a nation who've been living in this place thousands of years. Thank you for your support. I'm sure together we can, despite all the challenges, defeat all the problems and have a right to live in our own home.
Thank you.
I don't know what to say. You know, it just like, you know, again, I just admire people who choose righteousness, impact, and fight for the right values, for the right things to do. I think if everyone in our world would do the same, then there wouldn't be such conflicts at all.
Right? True.
So we keep connected with you, Ruben, and you can SMS us 24 hours, you know, we are with you, and I hope we will find a lot of support from outside the world for you.
I'm really thankful, Svetlana, Ben, for your friendship, help, and support. And what you're doing, by the way, for many of your programs and what you're doing for the world also. I know how heavily involved in social impact, and wish success all of us. And I believe also we together can save the world. The people who care not only about our personal interests, but care about the world overall. And it's just very important to use our resources to make the world better, because if we want to see our kids live in a normal world, we need to do all better together.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Ruben. And I hope either to visit you in Artsakh or you can come out and visit us.
I will be delighted to show you a unique place. I hope one day we can go and
see you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Bye for now, Ruben.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Dear viewers, with this we finish the second episode of season 7. And today all of you learned, I mean, at least I felt all the pain and suffering of this beautiful and historically one of the oldest and most important European nation, and how you can support them, you've heard. So please don't hesitate to act. First people settled there in 6000 BC, yes, and it was established in 2492 BC, making it, in fact, as Ruben also said, most likely even older than Greece or Rome.
Yeah, this was amazing program. Thank you. And next week we will travel to another country. Thank you very, very much for watching us.
And you can always reach us on apply@isolutions.ch.
Bye for now.
Bye for now. Thank you. Hey, we hope you have been inspired by the remarkable stories that shape impact investing worldwide.
Make sure you subscribe to our channel not to miss any future episodes.
Contact us if you want to support our guests or be the next TV show guest yourself.
Join the awesome impact community and invite your friends to do the same.
You can find us on TikTok, LinkedIn, YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, podcast, anywhere in your favorite social media.
We look forward to sharing the next episode with you. And remember,
together we create a truly sustainable future.